And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Ding, ding.
I mean, he already knew we had his back, but it just felt good to quiet all of them down midway through the game. And, you know, it was very quiet towards the end. We ain't hear no more Ben Simmons chants from the Sixers fans. There was more Nets fans in here than anything, so it was good.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo Dakil, here with your Friday morning update. Before we start, don't forget, if you aren't a subscriber, you can get this podcast ad-free, along with all the great writing over at The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/NBA show and signing up. Huge, huge Thursday night in the NBA, Mo. And there were only two games, but these were two of the biggest games. They were just very highly anticipated. And first game of the night, disappointing score for some people, but I'm going to just say right now, this was one of the most fun games of the year. The Brooklyn Nets absolutely walloped the 76ers, 129-100. And Mo, there's an argument to be made that a 29-point victory doesn't even quite explain how demoralizing this was. The people showed up to boo Ben Simmons, who they knew wasn't even going to play. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen, Mo. They were booing their own team by the end of this game.
Well, it just shows you that boos can go both ways, right? It was one of the rare times where when you boo, and it's actually for both sides. And I think that was kind of the thing we got from here. But let's just start with, this game has been probably one of the most anticipated games since the trade deadline, really for the whole situation with Ben Simmons. Kind of knew he wasn't going to play, but, oh, he's going to sit on the bench. What's going to happen with the fans and all that stuff? And it's sort of funny, Dave, also, because we all kind of forgot about the other guys in the trade, right? Like, Seth Curry had a revenge game, and let's just, he let the Sixers know. He knocks down a three, looks to the bench, he's saying thanks to his father-in-law. Like, it's all of that stuff. This was a phenomenal game. The environment was great. It had a feel of a playoff atmosphere, and just give the Nets credit. They came out, and like you said, the score, even 29 points, didn't even feel like that was, showed how big of a lopsided affair it was. It was a wire-to-wire finish for the Nets. This was just one of those games. They came out, and it was unbelievable.
You mentioned other guys in the game. Well, no better player in the game than Kevin Durant. He had 25 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. Mo, this was a monster game from Kevin Durant.
I mean, this was KD at his best, you know, like just super smooth, making plays. The stuff I loved was, and this is the thing that KD probably doesn't get enough credit for, he gets off the ball so damn quick, Dave. Like, he comes off the screen, they double it, fine, no problem. I'm going to hit James Johnson, he's going to roll to the rim for a dunk. You know, it's all of those things. We're going to hit Nick Claxton, Claxton's going to find Seth Curry in the corner for the three. Like, he gets off of it so quickly, and everything that he does, you know, this is just one of those nights where it's like, yeah, that's right, KD is still one of the best in the world to play this game. And he was just unreal. And again, locked in. I think he was 5 for 5 to start the game. Just incredibly locked in 11 points, I think, to start out. I mean, there's not enough you could say about him. He's a smooth player. He's just fun to watch.
Yeah, and I love that him and Embiid were going at it. You know, I love to see guys who want to win every game, and in particular, these sort of high-pressure games. Both of these guys really wanted it, and obviously KD wound up, to me, having a much better game. You know, we'll talk about Embiid and the Sixers in a little bit. But the Brooklyn Nets have had a defense problem for a while now. You know, they started out hot the first 6 weeks. They were great. They were surprising us. And it was more of an aberration than what they are. Well, tonight, their defense really showed up, Mo. And not only did they frustrate James Harden and Joel Embiid, they blocked 15 shots in this game to go along with 13 steals. I mean, this was a defensive masterclass. And three guys in particular I want to point out, James Johnson, Nick Claxton, and Andre Drummond. I thought that they did excellent work, especially when Embiid had the ball in the post.
Yeah, I thought they had a really solid game plan. I mean, James Johnson coming in sort of the back end of these plays and sort of cleaning up and coming away with blocks is a big thing. And he finished with five blocks, just him on his own. And, you know, when you watch it, like, Embiid's going to go to the free throw line, guys. There's no arguing that, right? Like, Embiid gets to the line several times a game, you know, anywhere from like 13 to almost 20. I think it was around 20 tonight. He got 10 in the first quarter alone. But the key was, they kept him to, I think, what was it, Dave? 5 of 17 shooting? Like, they just, he wasn't dominating them from anywhere else. It was just, he was going to get to the line. That's where he was going to get the majority of his points. But he was going to have a tough night scoring anywhere else. And that's a lot of credit to the Nets just defensively being ready to swarm and attack.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job of switching up when they were going to bring the double, too. You know, and Andre Drummond, we talked about this when the Nets got him in the trade. He's a throw-in, certainly, in that deal, but he's going to be big for them. He's going to play a lot of minutes, and I love that KD gave him credit after the game for shaking off the ankle injury that he suffered kind of at the end of the second quarter, coming back and really had a great second half to follow it up. Now, on the other side of the coin, you mentioned Joel Embiid, frustrated, couldn't get much going, but, man, he got to the line. I mean, he's going to be a machine getting to the free throw line.
I mean, it's what Joel does. You know, as he gets to the free throw line, there's not much more to add on to it. He draws contact. He finds a way to seek it out and just continue to add that on there. And, you know, Dave, I don't have anything else to say about it. In terms of, this is just what Embiid does.
Imagine if Shaquille O'Neal had shot free throws as well as Joel Embiid does. I'll say that. I mean, you can't knock him. He does hit the free throws. But outside of Embiid, safe to say nobody showed up for the Sixers. But a guy who routinely just refuses to show up when the moment is the brightest, James Harden, was absolutely awful in this game. He was 3 of 17 overall, 3 of 17 from 3, 4 turnovers, minus 30 in the game, 11 points. I mean, look, man.
No, it was
playoff form.
It was just a very, like, nonchalant Harden out there, right? Like, he went out, tried it a little bit in the first quarter. Once it didn't look like it was going that way, you can kind of just see him sort of back off. Now, he hit a couple of step backs. He got kind of a couple of shots going that way. But honestly, he didn't get a few calls. You can see the frustration on his end. Not a good defensive night. Not a lot of movement from him on the offensive end, moving around and you know, helping out. Embiid gets the ball in the post. All the stuff we saw early on, we're not seeing now. And this is the James Harden I was worried about for Philly. This is the James Harden I said, like, man, I don't know if you want to trade for him. And those are the things. It's fine when you're beating up on the Knicks. It's fine when you're beating up on Minnesota or the Cavs. It's getting a little bit more tougher. Like, this was actually a really challenging opponent, and they no-showed. And they got to own that. This is one of those games where this was circled on the calendar. We all knew this was going to be a big night, and they didn't come to play at all. And that's, you know, something we got to put on everybody, you know, and it's top down all the way from Doc on down. They just did not look prepared, ready to roll, and Harden looked disinterested in there by halftime.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Denver, the Warriors beat the Nuggets 113-102. Big night from Steph Curry, had 34 points. And Mo, really blew up in the third quarter, which Denver has struggled all year in third and fourth quarters. I mean, they've struggled to score, but defensively, they just could not contain Steph in the third.
No, he was unbelievable in the third quarter. He had a mini 5-0 run, and then he had a run towards the end of the third quarter. I think he finished with about 13 points in that quarter. I'm not going to lie to you. I am stalling so I can pull it up on the stats. But he was rolling in every aspect of it, finishing with 34 points. This is the Steph Curry we've been waiting for, right? Like, this was the one we've kind of – we haven't seen a lot this season, right? A lot of glimpses here and there. But it's been a long time, and I was way wrong. 18 third-quarter points, Dave, just on that alone. It was what they needed. The Warriors looked sluggish a little bit at points in the first half. They came out in the second half, and this kind of helped them get back into the game and really push on a tired Nuggets.
Yeah, and when Jokic sits for the Nuggets, it's a wrap. They just can't do anything when he's not out there. And he was exhausted in this game. It was second night of a back-to-back. Fourth game in 5 nights for the Nuggets. The whole team looked tired. But in particular, Jokic goes out in the third, and they've got a nice lead. And then the Warriors go on that 24-10 run. And certainly, you get Jokic back out there in the fourth, and he gives them a chance. But he had no legs at the end of this game, Mo. I mean, usually he's so great in the crunch time, and he just couldn't even get to the ball.
Yeah, this is one of those you look on your schedule, and you see this loss coming. Whenever the schedule came out, really, you know, you look at it going like, this is going to be a real tough night for us. They played in Sacramento last night. They were saying on the broadcast, they really didn't get home till like 3 or 4 in the morning. It's a tough scenario to kind of overcome there with everything you said. Second night of a back-to-back, 4 games in 5 nights, all of that wears you down. And, you know, they looked good in the first half, but you could feel the second half it coming down that way. And I mean, it's hard to overcome. This is why sometimes we don't always, you know, have to look at this game and go like, oh, this is the Warriors are infinitely better. Well, they got to take advantage of a tired team today, and they did a good job by doing it. And they played extremely hard in that and earned the win. But I mean, at the end of the day, the Nuggets were gassed, even though they pushed a little bit at the end.
Yeah. And a couple of other guys for the Warriors that we definitely need to talk about is Jordan Poole iced the game. Down the stretch, hit a couple of late threes back to back, and really just put the Warriors on their back, on his back, when they couldn't get anything going. Finished this game with 21 points, and Kevon Looney might have played the best defense on Nikola Jokic that I've seen in a few months. And now, granted, Jokic second night of back to back, but I thought Looney put on a clinic out there.
I mean, part of the fatigue that Jokic had was Looney banging on him all night, you know, and being physical with him and getting into him. So, yeah, he was a little bit tired. It didn't help that he had to deal with Looney after that, right? And on every play, Looney's there with him the whole way. Even if he scored on plays, they were tough bucket earns, right? Even some of the shots he settled for, whether he made it or not, was Jokic going like, nah, I'm too tired to bang with you on this particular possession. I'm just going to shoot this jumper. And that goes a long way for everything that they were doing. So I think you have to kind of look at it and say, like, this was probably one of the – you're right on this. Sometimes I kill you, Dave, for being too hyperbolic. But you were right on. This is probably the best defense we've seen on Jokic so far this season.
Yeah, and I was just thinking just in a while, but you might be right. I mean, Jokic has been at this level now for a couple of seasons, and it's been a while since someone has made him look, you know – worn down at the end of the game. I mean, this has kind of been his hallmark. The last 2 minutes, you know, he's coasted until the last 2 minutes, and that's when he really starts to get a little bit of groove in him, and he just didn't have it tonight. But man, it's a great game and continues a string of just awesome games every night, Mo. This rules all the way to the playoffs. This is going to be great. That's going to do it for the show, folks. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.
Hey, As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.